بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وبعد، this is alhamdulillah the 11th bab in Kitab al-Riqaq of Sahih al-Bukhari, and the title of this bab is bab قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا المال خضرة حلوة. وقال الله تعالى زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا. قال عمر اللهم إنا لا نستطيع إلا أن نفرح بما زينته لنا، اللهم إني أسألك أن أنفقه في حقه. So it's a long chapter title, and the title of it is concerning the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this wealth is green and sweet. Didn't we cover that hadith? We did cover that hadith, it was earlier. He says, the statement, this wealth is green and sweet, and the words of Allah, who says, the enjoyment of worldly desires, women, children, treasures of gold and silver, fine horses, cattle, and fertile land has been made appealing to people. These are the pleasures of this worldly life. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Allah, we are incapable of not being joyous over what you have adorned for us. O Allah, I ask you that I spend it rightfully. So a couple of things here before we begin with the hadith. The ulama of tafsir differ over the interpretation of this verse. There's different views, and that is because this verse in the beginning of Surah Ali Imran uses the passive form, al-mabni lil-majhul. You know, in Arabic you have the active verb and the passive verb. So the active verb, if you say daraba zaydun amra, right? Zayd hit Amr. Zayd is the striker, he's the fa'il, the doer, the object, or the subject rather, and Amr is the object. Here the doer is very clearly identified. However, what if you said that Zayd was hit without identifying who hit him? You'd use the passive form. You would say Doriba. Well, in this case, Amr is hit. So you say Doriba Amrun. Amr was hit. So even if Zayd is the one hitting him, you're not identifying that Zayd hit him. You say Doriba Amr. And then maybe you're concealing the identity of the one who hit him, or maybe you don't know. The motive doesn't really matter, but the point is it's a passive form. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. He says, made, adorned for mankind are those things he listed out. He doesn't say explicitly, زَيَّنَ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ, that Allah made these things adorned for people. Because of this, the ulama of tafsir had different views about the identity of من هو صاحب التزيين, يعني من الذي زينه للناس, who is the one who adorned these things for people. Is it the nafs itself? Is it shaitan? Or is it adorned by our Creator who created these things? So some of the Salaf said, it's the nafs, the self, the craving ego, adorns these things for the person and makes them seem well-pleasing, and so they're drawn to them and attracted to them. Others said, no, it's shaitan. Shaitan makes these things desirous to a person, and then they desire them. But the soundest view is the view actually stated explicitly here in the Athar from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Because in the Athar cited by Imam al-Bukhari, he has this dua, Allahumma inna la nastati'u illa an nafraha bima zayyanta. O Allah, we are unable, we're incapable of not being joyous over what you have adorned. And that makes sense. It's true that shaitan will make certain things pleasing to people and entice them to do something haram. But the root of that desire that you have as a human being for women or for wealth or food or cattle and so on, that is rooted in your fitrah. It's in your survival impulse that Allah has created within you. So the reality is that it is Allah who has made these things adorned and appealing for people. Now we come to the hadith, and there's just one hadith in this bab. He says, حدثنا علي بن عبد الله حدثنا سفيان قال سمعت الزهري يقول أخبرني عروة وسعيد بن المسيب عن حكيم بن حزام قال سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأعطاني ثم سألته فأعطاني ثم سألته فأعطاني ثم قال هذا المال وربما قال سفيان قال لي يا حكيم وبقي الحديث مفقود عندي. تقرأ الحديث؟
إن هذا المال قذرة حلوة.
إنما هذا المال قذرة
حلوة.
حلوة.
فمن أخذه بطيب نفس.
فمن أخذه بطيب نفس.
بورك له فيه.
بورك له فيه.
ومن أخذه بشراف نفس.
ومن أخذه بشره نفس.
بشراف نفس.
بشراف نفس.
لم يبارك.
لم يبارك له فيه. نعم.
وكان كالذي يأكل ولا يشبع.
وكان كالذي يأكل ولا يشبع.
واليد العليا.
واليد العليا
خير من اليد السفلى.
خير من اليد السفلى. نعم. يعني الورقة مفقودة عندي. على أي حال. So the hadith says, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some money. This is from Hakim ibn Hizam. I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some money and he gave me. Then I asked him again and he gave me. Then I asked him again and he gave me. These are different occasions. He's asking for money. And the third time he said, this wealth is khadiratun, what? Hulwa. It is green and sweet. What do the Arabs mean when they say green? They mean it's something pleasing and good, even if it's not literally green. It's green and sweet. And whoever takes it without greed, Allah will bless it for him. But whoever takes it with greed, Allah will not bless it for him. And he will be like the one who eats but is never satisfied. And the upper hand, the hand that gives, is better than the lower hand, the hand that takes. So this hadith is very similar to the narrations we've been reading. One of the points of this chapter that stands out, however, is how you compare it to the previous chapters. We're hearing about the nature of the dunya, how the dunya can pull one away from their purpose and distract them and lead them to ghafla, to heedlessness and ghurur and deception. But here we see Imam al-Bukhari cite the ayah, زُيِّلَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. It has been adorned for mankind, the love of these pleasurable, alluring things. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has done this. Now the question is, why doesn't Allah say directly, زَيِّنَ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ حُبَّ الشَّهَوَاتِ? Why does he not ascribe the act to himself directly? And the ulama give a couple of different answers. They say that because these things sometimes lead people into the haram, right? Allah Ta'ala does not ascribe the action directly to himself. He mentions it in the passive formula, in the majhul form. Because this is very common in the Quran that everything is from Allah. But out of adab, we don't ascribe certain things to Allah, even if He is the creator of those things. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam say? He says that my Lord is the one who feeds me and gives me drink. يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. And then he says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I get sick, he is the one who heals me. He doesn't say, وَإِذَا أَمْرَضَنِي فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when he makes me sick. But who is the creator of sickness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also followed this adab when teaching us dua. In the Qunut, one of the narrations says, وَشَرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. Evil was not ascribed to you. So what we see in the Quran as well as the Sunnah is that things that can be negative, we don't ascribe them directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if He is the creator of those causes and effects. So because these things include matters that could lead to bad ends, adab and tails, they're not ascribed directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though it is from the act of God that He has made these things adorned and pleasing to human beings. Now, look at the verse. What is the first thing Allah mentions that has been adorned for people? زُيِّرَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنْ النِّسَى. The first thing Allah mentions that has been adorned for people is women. Why? Why does He mention women first? Why not mal first? The ulama say the reason why is because this is the greatest fitna for men. Like, be honest. As a man, before you get married, if you didn't have to have a house, an apartment, and furniture, you know, different nice things, we could live in a box. Most men, you know, if it were not for a woman, for a wife and children, you could probably live in a box, you know, you could live pretty simply. And you can see that in the bachelor pads. You have a couch and a chair, a table, and some weights, and that's it, you're good, right? It's only that you get married that you get nicer things and you get a bigger house. So that is the primary shahwa that men have. And that is the biggest fitna for the men of the ummah. And this is why Ibn Uthayn says that because they're the greatest fitna, they're mentioned first, right? After that comes other things that can become fitnas that are still made alluring. And just because a thing is a fitna doesn't mean it's evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that your wealth and your children are a fitna. Doesn't mean that your children are evil. Doesn't mean your wealth is evil intrinsically. It just means these are causes for fitna in one's life greater than other causes. So you have to be very careful with how you are with your wealth and how you are with your children, how you are with your women folk and women in general, how you navigate that world, the world around you. And after mentioning that, he mentions cattle and horses, and we could replace horses with cars, you know, nice cars. والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions qanatir, qintar. Some of the ulama say that means 70,000 dirhams or dinars. So just think of a lot of money. Whenever they say 70, 700, 70,000, that's mutlaqul kathra, just means abundance. So it's basically Allah saying that He has made alluring to people, women, offspring, because with offspring you have support, you have greater resources and means, cattle, horses, think vehicles, right, means of transport, and money. So these things are all natural impulses in human beings to want to have these things, for them to be alluring. However, we see the problems that arise when a person is distracted by them, or when we try to acquire them or maintain them by means of the haram. And that's why Imam al-Bukhari, he cites the dua of Sayyidina Umar, who says, O Allah, we are incapable of not being joyous over what You have adorned for us. We naturally have an impulse for these things. So he says, O Allah, I ask You that I spend it rightfully. I just ask You that I enjoy these things in the halal. If You can do that, that is the zuhud that is asked of us. So zuhud as a virtue, because this is Kitab al-Riqaq, zuhud as a virtue is not doing away with these things entirely. It is limiting yourself to the halal in these things. If you limit yourself to the halal in these things, the zuhud is therefore zuhud from haram. That is the basic degree of zuhud that everyone has to have. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.